아, 예, 저기 남북 교류 정상 추모에 대한 것이와 예장을 또 제가려간다 패션제 등기를 사려고 하고 지금 예체도 사산지 보고 돌아왔나 늦은 바다 가진 돌아서 관념 들린 거 아닌가 이내기 년도 내기 뒤에 개발제다 바람이 보고 하던 시기를 이내기를 토크로도 리토베 체도 앤데 직속이 중요하다 이제 바다 수도 공부를 돌아가는 강도 지인 세계가 제다 근데 이게 겨우서 아시아바디안 지금 좀 몰랑 접진 방법이다 이제 이제 제가 양치하러 와다 이게 왜 신이 양보다 지금 제제되는 된 양보토의 된대로 하는 이제 자주 생각한 발신 중입니다 그런데 제가 라고 저 세대 몰랑 자고래 세신부터 이 여배시에기 취위지 전단 인보지 어떤 다행히 비리에 세신가 이슈로
Good afternoon. So this morning we looked at the presentation on the being, the presentation on the practices in accordance with the being of small capacity. So for ourselves who aspire to enter into the bodhisattva parts or to develop the bodhisattva parts and attain enlightenment, we should start our practice with generating the mind of bodhicitta. And so this, once that has been generated in the way it has been described previously, we then reflect on the six perfections. So these practices, those of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, and joyous perseverance, for the first four of the six, these are the practices that are in accordance with the being of small capacity. And when we engage in these, we develop them in our minds, then we are doing them, the same practices, in accordance with the being of small capacity, but with the motivation of the Mahayana. And then these practices will not only lead to the accumulation of virtue that will enable us to attain enlightenment for the sake of others, but will also lead to continued good rebirths. So therefore we should re-engage in these practices, and we also engage in making stainless prayers, where we, when we dedicate our merit for the enlightenment of all sentient beings, we make prayers that we are always born in lands where our teachers are, that we meet them and recognize them as great teachers, receive teachings from them, and cultivate those teachings within our continuum, life after lifetime after lifetime. So this was the essence of the presentation of this morning.
Mm-hmm.
practice of ethical conduct is very important, and it's important to ensure that when we are engaging in virtuous activities, that we conjoin them with the practice of ethical conduct, with an ethical mind. So this is very important. It can be likened to a gardener or a farmer ensuring that the soil is well prepared, because if the soil is well prepared, then the seeds will grow well. And ethical conduct here is likened to the foundation or the soil from which all good qualities will grow.
And
as probably all of us, or most of us sitting here, we will have from our side willingly accepted vows, received vows. And so whether we are ordained or not ordained, most of us here will have vows on our continuum. So what we should reflect on here is that as a student of the Buddha, now someone who's taken accepted certain practices of the Buddha, that this is what I should refrain from, etc., that as a student of the Buddha, I need to abandon these kinds of activities because I need to act in accordance with the promises and the commitments that I have made. If we reflect on this repeatedly, then this commitment to live in accordance with the promises that we've made, this will grow and strengthen. So therefore, this is something that we should do. Bodhisattvas, they too have vows, and their vows relate to their body, speech, and mind as well. So let's start that again. So whether bodhisattvas or not, we have vows to not harm others with our physical actions, with our verbal actions, or mentally. So we have vows of restraint relating to our behavior. But when it comes to bodhisattvas, their primary abandonment is to abandon their selfish motivation. So if we were to summarize the bodhisattva vows, it's really to abandon the selfish motivation, this motivation of striving for one's own benefits. Because if we look at ordinary people such as ourselves, then when we are engaging in virtue and we are trying to be of benefit to others, there is still an element of a self-centered motivation, wanting to engage in virtue to achieve our own ends, wanting to help others for our own benefit as well. So this selfish intention, this is something that bodhisattvas particularly strive to abandon.
And
Arya bodhisattvas, due to the development in their continuum, not only can their afflictions not harm them, but they can use their afflictions to be of great benefit. This is a very different situation for ourselves. Of course, our afflicted minds harm us. Now we come to the next section. We've looked at the being of the practices in accordance with the being of small capacity, and now we come to the practices that are in accordance with the being of middling capacity.
Sanjo 이거 제가 이나 내가 녀모버의 방구도 얘네기 방구도 세메 상제 녀모버 방배 방과 타과서 토구도 세메 타고 군에 나제 얘네기 다 삼지 기만 맞아 봤제 타과 담상 봤제 얘네 녀모버 방배 방과 타과 토구도 리마트도 타면 누구 삼제 얘네 타과 되니게 삼바 예 얘네기 리원게 타과 되니게 삼바 깨네 얘네 지마 틀려 제가 전에 냠제
Practices then that are in accordance with the being of intermediate capacity. So a being of intermediate capacity then, they have as a goal the attainment of liberation from cyclic existence. So they're not thinking about Buddhahood, they're not striving for it. They may think, oh, this I can't attain or it's too difficult to attain. But they have come to see very clearly that there is no state within cyclic existence that is worth hoping for, that it's worth striving for. They've come to see very clearly that wherever they are born within samsara, that rebirth is pervaded by suffering, that existence is pervaded by suffering. And they've developed an overpowering revulsion for cyclic existence, and they want to be liberated from samsara. And understanding that samsara comes about due to the contaminated karma accumulated due to one's afflicted minds, they strive to attain liberation through abandoning their afflicted minds, and they strive for this single-pointedly, wholeheartedly. So they engage in practices that we've heard of, such as generosity, ethical conduct, patience, joy, perseverance. And there's a particular emphasis also on concentration and wisdom, all in order to eliminate the afflicted minds and abandon samsara and attain liberation from samsara.
Yeah, and 기부충이라는 이름이 갑래디냐면 지고로와 그래서 기부충이라는 이름 받이 제와 치마 파단 미고방 토리하게 된다라 인지 받아 주름 제가 쓰는 냐면 제대로와 난 다들 기부충이 갑래니에 내 지마 주주 제가 쓰는 냐면 지고로와 제가 냐면 제대로 주름 소야 돼 지그 주름 소야 다 아니 지마 다 해야 다 소가 보면 쓰는 소야 아니 냐면 제대로 지고래디 이내야 되지 아니 꾸노디래야
기와치마하다미고방토비야기전다
아니 진바다 제가 좀 전주 냠내제디 아니 기부진기 남샤고 그래서 권이 냠내제디 진보수로 제가 전주 냠내 이거 지고래도 와 이내야 꾸노 되라 아니 삼노고 어디 진보수로 냠내제 찍기 아니 기부 충분히 남마도 타로도 남차고 말게 와 차고 말 찍기 아니 데레 타완 타로도 되게 와 차고 와 나야 데레 꾸노 되지 않아서 자주 쌤 쌤자 삼지기 들어 삼당제
장주생
What we've just heard now is that a being of both beings, those of small and intermediate capacity, they engage in practices of generosity, they guard ethical conduct, they develop a mind of patience, a mind that stays subdued in the face of adversity, and they engage in these practices with a mind of joyous perseverance. So those practices are in accordance or in harmony. Both types of beings are doing those same four practices. However, the being of small capacity, who is guarding the ethical conduct and practicing generosity, they are doing so motivated with the wish to ensure they don't fall into the lower realms, but to attain rebirth as a human or as a god in their next life. So that is their motivation, and that they're for which they engage in their virtue. And relatively speaking, they accumulate a small amount of virtue, and the goal that they will attain through this virtue is a good rebirth in their future life. But a being in doing those self-same practices, maybe in every way the same, but with a different motivation, such as a motivation to attain liberation from cyclic existence, motivation to attain nirvana. So such a being who is guarding their ethics and practicing generosity, etc., may be doing the same meditations and doing the same meditations on ethics and generosity, etc., and engaging in the same practices. But because of their much more powerful motivating mind, they accumulate far more virtue, and they achieve a far greater goal. They attain liberation from cyclic existence in its entirety. So those practices are in accordance between a being of small capacity and a being of intermediate capacity. And they are also, those same four practices are also engaged by a being of greatest capacity. So a being of greatest capacity practices generosity, guards their ethical conduct, practices patience, and all powered by a mind of joyous perseverance. But they have the motivation not just to attain a good rebirth, not just to attain liberation from cyclic existence, but to attain full and complete enlightenment. So with this much more powerful motivation engaging in the same practices, they acquire far more virtue and achieve a far greater result. But it's not just that they achieve the result of enlightenment. They also achieve the result of the being of small capacity in that they attain good rebirths. They also attain the results of the being of intermediate capacity in that they attain liberation from samsara. And they attain the goal of their own goal, their goal of enlightenment. The being of intermediate capacity, doing those same practices, they will eventually attain liberation, and they will also attain the goal of the being of small capacity, which is good rebirth, and receive good rebirth, and eventually the goal of liberation. But they won't attain enlightenment because that is not in accordance with their motivation. So that's how all three different types of beings, they engage in these same practices, but due to the differing motivating mind, accrue far differing amounts of virtue. They achieve different goals, but they will achieve the goals of the beings of smaller capacities to them. The being of intermediate capacity, their motivation, as we've heard, is to attain liberation from cyclic existence. And how do they achieve this? What are their main practices? So there are six. The practices of generosity, of ethical conduct, of patience, of joyous perseverance, are those same four. And then they also develop the minds of calm abiding and special insight, and the wisdom realizing selflessness. So these are the six main practices that a being of intermediate capacity engages in. The same four that are in accordance with a being of small capacity, as well as concentration and the wisdom realizing selflessness.
Di yaku yunaya la, ane ngajuki garukung gugure, garasam tang gugure, lan taki bukini ke sam tang hati ni ha. Mejung di yaku kie gitu ane la, ane ngajuki garasam tang asung kolwe yemi sam tang gugure da. Kowa se, dunga da dunga se, dunga da dunga da juwe dunga se, da chaba da dunga di ya sam tang. Dene ane dunga di ya, ane ngajuki nyawa yidal chun ro mi dunga se, dinigi dunga kawa kye na dunga jenya tu sipi samtaya rwa. An dinigi dunga samtaya, an dinigi deji nasi nga tu deji shogue sheba nasi, an ni nga tu ki miu miu to na namsa ji shogue mitawa, ki ji 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 jere shasin, ki ji kore mitawa samtaya rwa. An dinigi mitawa samtaya, dini miu rimbo je toya la, nyamnen jaya la miu rimbo je de mato wa ina, jesan nyamnen jaya ya hamun je da, yaqo yunga da miu rimbo chobo je da, miu rimbo ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で、ま、で
The being of intermediate capacity, very marked by a overwhelming longing for liberation, this overpowering wish to be freed of psychic existence and attain a state of lasting happiness. So how do they give rise to this mind of definite emergence? So they do so through reflecting on the faults of psychic existence, the faults of samsara. So this is a main meditation for them. They look at the suffering that is being experienced throughout samsara, and this can be meditated on in different ways. They're meditating on suffering in the three-point division, the threefold division of the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, and the suffering of all pervasive conditioning. Moreover, they will reflect on the suffering that is experienced in all realms, reflect on the sufferings of the lower realms of animals, predators, and hell beings. In particular, they will reflect on the suffering experienced by humans and gods. And they do so to come to see how cyclic existence is pervaded by suffering. There is no rebirth, there is no state to long for, and there is no state to be found where there is peace and happiness. Because cyclic existence in its very nature is suffering. Then, giving rise to this wish, they then use these previous meditations they've also engaged in, such as precious human rebirth that we heard about this morning. Knowing the value of the situation they have, they're motivated to use it well, in particular because they've seen how precious it is and its great meaning that it can achieve. This is the basis upon which liberation can be achieved. This is the basis upon which their heartfelt wish can be fulfilled. However, this basis, as we heard this morning, is impermanent. The time is of the essence. This lifespan, this opportunity is coming to an end. And therefore, this life needs to be used and used well now. Now take this understanding of impermanence and they'll use it in meditation, in looking at subtle impermanence, coming to see how impermanent phenomena don't just change in a coarse way that we can observe, but they change moment by moment by moment, and therefore are particularly unstable. So this gives them rise to a very strong wish to utilize this opportunity well, seeing its great value. So this is all as we heard this morning, but this is used now to motivate their meditations on the faults of cyclic existence. So this is how we can see the practices are in accordance of the being of a small and intermediate capacity. Now also come to understand that the reason that we are all bound within cyclic existence is our own mind of ignorance of self-grasping. This is the root cause of all our suffering, because it's from this that all our afflicted minds arise, and we accumulate contaminated karma, and this wheel of samsara continues to turn. So having gone through all these reflections many times and given rise to a strong mind of definite emergence, their entire focus is on attaining liberation from cyclic existence. They are not concerned with the mundane affairs of this life. They are looking at transcending this life. Now with such a motivation, the attainment of the powerful meditative minds of karma abiding and special intention, special insight, karma abiding and special insight, is very easy because they are not distracted by minds such as attachment. These practitioners can easily overcome the inner obstacles to attaining karma abiding and then special insight. Because we haven't developed this mind of the strong mind of definite emergence, for us to develop a calm and concentrated mind is very difficult, because these distractions, these minds of attachment, still have so much strength within us. But these practitioners who have given rise to a strong mind of definite emergence, they can easily develop calm abiding and special insight, and with such minds they can meditate on the antidote to the ignorance of self-grasping, they can meditate on selflessness, and quickly attain liberation. So with a strong mind of definite emergence, not only can they develop strong meditative minds of calm abiding and special insight, and then effectively meditate on selflessness, but due to their progress on the path being so very visible to them, they don't waste a moment of this precious opportunity. This life they know is impermanence, and they use it very well.
이제 냠냠 제나 진바다 수림 제바를 써야 돼. 안 수림 가야 뭐 어디니 되는 제고를 써야 진바라야 되네 되네 제고서. 아니 이제 삼년에 되니 신의 주탄이 제 뭔 것이. 안 다음에 보고 나 뭐 돈이 요걸 되네 뭐 고자 좀 유차서 봐. 이제 너도 신의 되네 다 뭐 니전 신이 친구 살고.
When one looks at the great Lamrim texts, such as the Lamrim Chemo and others, then one sees this presentation in great detail. The Lamrim Chemo, for example, but as well as many others, they present the faults of cyclic existence in great detail. And the reason they do this is to enable the practitioner to come to a strong realization that wherever one is born within cyclic existence, one will suffer. And this then leads to the rise of the mind of definite emergence and the strong wish to attain liberation. So the Lamrim text, when you read those, you'll see the hell realms explained in the experiences of beings within the hell realms explained in great detail, and as well as the experiences of the different types of beings in the preta realm, and then the general sufferings of beings who are born as animals, and then in great detail again the sufferings of humans as well as gods. And the purpose of that presentation is firstly so that knowing that we will take rebirth in our next life, and then our next life, in our future lives, we can only be born in one of two places, the happier migrations or the suffering migrations. But in this way, we come to see that whichever we are born in, the happier or the suffering migrations, those experiences are pervaded by suffering, maybe coarser in the lower realms than in the upper realms, but still the experiences are pervaded by suffering. So this then gives rise to a strong wish not to ever take such a rebirth. And then this is the mind of definite emergence, the mind that definitely wants to emerge from the suffering states of cyclic existence. But that alone is not enough. One also needs to understand the causes for rebirth in cyclic existence, not just how there is no peace to be found here. And here the Lamrim again, the Lamrim texts, they also present in great detail the variety of afflicted minds and the process fungus by which we accumulate our contaminated karma and remain bound within samsara. So the Lamrim texts present this in great detail, but in brief, in order to give rise to the mind of a being of intermediate capacity, in order to generate this mind of definite emergence, one needs to meditate on the faults of cyclic existence until this stirs one's mind with a sincere, genuine and lasting wish to be freed. And then we need to come to understand what is keeping us bound here, what the causes of our suffering is. Knowing that, then one is ready to focus all one's attention on the practices of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, joyous perseverance, cultivating the mind of calm abiding, and meditating on wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now we come to the fifth verse, which is just in a few words referring to the faults of samsara. Seeking samsaric pleasures is the door to all suffering. They are uncertain and cannot be relied upon. Recognizing these shortcomings, please bless me to generate the strong wish for the bliss of liberation.
Mm-hmm. 대화
Looking at the first line, seeking samsaric pleasures is the door to all suffering. So this is an important line to reflect on. Because the position we find ourselves in right now is that we see samsaric pleasures as desirable. We get very excited when we have some new longed for object, or we spend a lot of time thinking about it, or when we experience pleasurable sensations. And because we see and seek samsaric pleasures, we engage in activities thinking only of our needs, or primarily of our own needs. And this can lead us to deceive others, to take advantage of others, to push others aside to ensure that our needs are fulfilled. And in addition to this, our time and our energy gets consumed by trying to attain these samsaric pleasures that we seek. And in general, ourselves and certainly society sees this as beneficial activity to do, to put all one's time and energy into seeking samsaric pleasures or accumulating wealth so as to attain samsaric pleasures. The problem is, though, that no matter what we achieve, we are never satisfied. We always want more. We always want better. No matter what we achieve, very quickly, we become unhappy with this. We become dissatisfied and we want something better. Or if what we have is nice, we want a second and a third. And this shows that no matter how many samsaric pleasures we experience, we are never satiated. We are never satisfied. We always are wanting more. And the problem with this is, how can we be happy when we constantly are dissatisfied? We are constantly craving more. But yet, we keep striving for more samsaric pleasures, more samsaric pleasures. And to achieve this, to fulfill this desire within us, we take advantage of others, we deceive others, we harm others. Seeking samsara pleasures, desiring samsara pleasures, never being satisfied with samsara pleasures, always wanting more. This shows that we lack the mind of contentment, because this mind of contentment is the opposite to the mind that is never satiated, that is always dissatisfied, always wanting more. The mind that we need to develop is a mind of contentment. In the second half of this first line, the door to all suffering is seeking samsaric pleasures. So this then refers to the mind of attachment. Because it's this mind of attachment of ours that leads us to always wanting more and never being satisfied with what we have. This leads us to our mental energy to be consumed with what we desire and how we're going to achieve it. And here, what are we thinking about? We are thinking about samsaric pleasures that we are desperate to attain in this life as quickly as possible. There's no real capacity, no space there to be thinking about attaining something beyond this life, of liberation or anything even greater than that. We're just getting caught up in this life's affairs. And desiring for these samsaric pleasures, desiring these pleasures, we engage in activities which harm others, and harm ourselves. So this mind of being unsatiated, this mind of attachment, it causes us to immediately bring problems into the lives of others and accumulate karmic imprints that will lead to suffering in the future. Keeps our mind fixated on sense pleasures to be experienced in this life without thinking about our future lives, with no real thought about our future lives. In this way, then, one engages in harmful activities, either killing or harming in other ways. This creates the imprints that keep us bound within samsara, rebirth after rebirth. And moreover, acting under the influence of attachment, following this mind of attachment, this mind grows in strength as we accumulate further and further and further imprints. So this mind of attachment grows, and we thereby create even more imprints that keep us bound within samsara. And this process continues lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. We lack the mind of contentment, and this is the very mind that we need, the mind that is not constantly striving for more and unhappy with what one has. And then this, the fault then of this, of being constantly desiring more, is mentioned here in the second line. They are uncertain and cannot be relied upon. So this is what we need to meditate on so as to develop a more content mind. We need to see that all samsaric pleasures are uncertain. All samsaric pleasures cannot be relied upon. So this is easy to understand in terms of material objects, but we need to understand it in terms of relationships as well. That all samsaric pleasures are uncertain and cannot be relied upon. And it's as long as we continue not to be guided by this understanding, we will lack contentment. And lacking contentment, then we strive to fulfill this insatiable need for further and further samsaric pleasures. And what we are striving for are for things that have no lasting value. That any happiness that comes from any samsaric pleasure, this is fleeting. And moreover, the object itself, again, whether it's material or any other, this doesn't last. It's impermanent. It's an impermanent object. It changes moment by moment. And we have experience of this. We have things that are broken, things that have been stolen, things that have been misplaced, etc. We have experience of this. We need to apply that experience then to all samsaric pleasures and see that they're impermanent and that the happiness that comes from them doesn't last and leaves us longing for more, longing for the experience that we had and now has gone, and leads us longing for something better than we've had. This lack of contentment not only ensures that we remain suffering and unhappy within samsara, but it ensures we continue to create causes to remain bound within samsara. And furthermore, we need to also reflect on the unstable nature of relationships. So this, again, we have experience and we need to reflect on that experience. We've been close to people, whether friends or relatives or loved ones, and how quickly that changes. And just from a mere word or someone looking at one in the wrong way, we can get angry and a relationship can end. And someone that we were at one time inseparable from, they dominated our thoughts, we spent all our time with them, and afterwards can't stand the mere sight of each other anymore. So we know this happens. We need to come to understand that there is no lasting happiness to be found within psychic existence, not from material objects, not from relationships and friendships either. And from our relationships with others, certainly there is benefit, but that benefit is minor, it's temporary. The very longest it will be for this lifetime. But by continuing to be deceived by the pleasure that we experience based on samsaric relationships and objects, we continue to lack this mind of contentment. We continue to desire more and more and more. Rather, we need to reflect in the ways described here, develop this mind of contentment, this mind that is satisfied with what we have and is thinking further, that is thinking beyond samsara, seeing the faults of samsara, seeing that there is no essence in samsara, there is nothing worth striving for in samsara, there is no samsaric pleasure worth longing for. And this way, we can develop a mind of contentment, seeing that there is nothing worth longing for in samsara. So our text, since we see, can see very clearly, it's very compact, there's very few words, but there's great meaning behind these words, and this can be presented as the greater presentation or the extensive presentation can be found in Lama texts such as Lama Tsongkhapa's great Lama Channel. And if we look there, we'll see a very detailed presentation on the faults of cyclic existence. So this is a very important reflection to engage in, because with doing so, this will lead us to give rise to a sincere, a heartfelt wish to be freed of samsara. So here we come then to the third and fourth lines in verse 5. Recognizing these shortcomings, so the shortcomings of samsara, please bless me to generate the strong wish for the bliss of liberation. So I'm reflecting on the sufferings of samsara, and then seeing that the cause of these sufferings can be traced back to our afflicted minds, this is what we want to abandon. What does it mean to abandon samsara? It means to abandon the samsaric minds, these afflicted minds. So this is what we want to abandon. And if we abandon these, what happens to us then? We are liberated from those minds. We are liberated from the samsaric minds. We have attained the liberation of having abandoned the afflicted minds. So this is, and when one attains liberation, what does one experience? Because now one no longer has any samsaric minds. One has no afflicted minds. So therefore one has none of these minds of suffering, and therefore we experience only happiness. This happiness is lasting and stable. It's uninterrupted by suffering. And that is because we have abandoned these afflicted minds. We have abandoned the minds of samsara. So seeing this, understanding this process, that having reflected first with great detail on the faults of psychic existence, knowing that the cause is the afflicted minds, we give rise to the wish to abandon the cause, these afflicted minds. If we abandon the afflicted minds, the minds of samsara, we attain liberation from samsara. And liberation is the state of having abandoned the afflicted minds. And then, all that one experiences is lasting, stable happiness. And then here one turns to one's Lama and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas for inspiration and for blessings. to see the faults of samsara clearly and in a way that changes our mind, so that whenever, for where we are now, our mind is distracted by pleasures, we remind ourselves that these are in the nature of suffering, and by striving for them, we're wasting this opportunity. We turn to our lamas for inspiration and blessings, that we give rise to the wish of liberation, and not just a mere fleeting wish, but a stable, heartfelt, lasting wish for liberation.
Where the practitioner is now is, she's given rise to this mind of definite emergence, having come to clearly see the faults of cyclic existence, well, to a realization of the faults of cyclic existence, and also knows that the cause of being remaining bound within samsara is one's own afflicted minds, and it's these that need to be abandoned in order to attain liberation. So then how does one take this mind of definite emergence and strengthen it further and further? How do we get our virtuous minds to grow? Well, that's been mentioned here in the sixth verse. Led by this pure thought, mindfulness, introspection, and conscientiousness grow. So the pure thought is relating to what we've just covered before. The pure thought is this wish for liberation, this mind of definite emergence, this mind of renunciation. And to make it grow stronger and stronger, the practitioner needs to rely on these three virtuous minds: mindfulness, introspection, conscientiousness. So conscientiousness is required to ensure that one guards one's mind well. This needs to be accompanied by these other two of introspection and mindfulness. Introspection is the mind that watches our inner world, watches that we are not being overcome by distraction. In other words, watches to ensure that our mind is staying virtuous.
That's the purpose of introspection. That a mind, it's a mind that is aware of what is what's happening in our mind, of whether we are staying on the meditation object, whether our mind is virtuous or not. But then we also need mindfulness. Mindfulness serves to recall the various stages of the path. So this is the purpose of mindfulness. It's mindfulness, or it can equally be translated as recollection. So recollection serves to recall the stages of the path. Introspection is an awareness that keeps the mind distracted from the object of meditation, or if in one's daily activities serves to prevent one from being distracted from virtue, keeping the mind virtuous. And then thirdly, one needs conscientiousness.
那就那了，那就那么三宝第一张宝也是，这个格罗沃森的新年是年终的时候了，年终三宝年终过年了，他把说托布鲁三百三十过年了，那第一过年了，那就人们就多的牛毛板那个多的开了呢，呃，写了很多功课了，写了说的今年大米都被写了，光节牛毛板了嘛，多大米都被写了嘛，光那牛毛板都不要了，大米都被写了功课了，这张大米不都被写了？
嗯，也会用其他部队的发动的计划了，新年功课了，新年定制就过了。实际上，定制主要了，年把在新年八月、电节定制新年中嘛多，嗯，就通过了，等到这些活了，在那新年八月前后，这个年终准备过年浪节，他说特别的，等到了，那么就做牛毛棒果子、牛毛棒，那么做年年节了，那个过是呢，新年就过了，那是发动就过了，你讲起来，你们就过了。
The explanation I've given now of these three minds, that's a general explanation that's as relevant to us now and any other practitioner. But specifically in this context, let's look at these first two lines. Led by this pure thought, then refers to the mind of definite intention, definite emergence, this pure motivation of definite emergence. For this motivation then, to fulfill its wish, and for the practitioner to emerge from cyclic existence and attain liberation, then there's only one way to do this. To cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness, or the wisdom realizing selflessness, the direct antidote to the causes of our suffering. And in order to be able to actually give rise to the wisdom realizing selflessness, one has to meditate with a very powerful, stable, concentrated, analytical mind. In other words, one needs the union of calm abiding and special insight, those two minds. It's only through the wisdom realizing selflessness that one can eliminate the causes of our suffering and attain liberation. It's only through, and for that meditation to have such a sufficient power, it needs to be stable as well as analytical, so calm abiding and special insights are required. And then, in order to develop calm abiding and special insights, one needs these three minds mentioned in the second line. Mindfulness, introspection, and conscientiousness. Without these three minds, one cannot give rise to calm abiding and special insight. Without calm abiding and special insight, one cannot gain a direct realization of wisdom realizing selflessness, and therefore one cannot attain liberation. The third and fourth line, the root of the teachings is keeping the Padimoksha vows, Please bless me to accompany this essential practice. So let's look at this third line then. The root of the teachings is keeping the Parimoksha vows. The meaning here is one has to guard one's ethical conduct well. If one doesn't practice ethics well, one's practice itself will not be successful. So therefore, the root of the teachings is guarding the Parimoksha vows, or guarding our ethical conduct, developing and maintaining an ethical mind. Without this, our practice will not be successful. And in order to have an ethical mind, in order to practice ethics well, one has to rely on these same three minds mentioned in the previous line: mindfulness, introspection, and conscientiousness. This verse hasn't specifically mentioned the practices of generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance, but these three are also need to be practiced, so they are implicitly implied. So one needs to engage in generosity and accumulate virtue and help others, and one needs to practice patience, because when trying to develop the practice of ethical conduct, when trying to develop calm abiding and special insight, we will experience difficulties. We may experience difficulties from others, and we need to keep our mind calm and spacious. And we will certainly experience difficulties from engaging in these virtuous practices. And it's the practice of patience that guards us from being overcome by the difficulties that we experience from our practice. And to ensure that all the various virtuous minds we are developing are powerful and developed quickly, we need the mind of joyous perseverance, the mind that delights in virtue, this mind that leads us wanting to meditate further, wanting to investigate reality in greater detail, wanting to have the opportunity to practice patience, etc. So therefore, indirectly or implicitly, the practices of generosity and patience and joyous perseverance are implied.
That drawing board, that I did it, and you have to watch it on. Parallel and the Major Samba Punilla, Kuno, the Major Samba Samta, Tabas at Tokurus and Biggie, then on to be Korea to my Samdane, that Korea to my Tabby Tabba Tokurus and be Tabba Samba Shida, Tabba to your Samba. Tabba to your Samba Jenny in it, but then Jabana Shishin Barrett in the Tutum Soya Town. And it Tutum Song, and it's about a server to me, and the Gallia thing is.
And the fourth line, we turn towards our lamas, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas for inspiration and for blessings. And this blessing here is particularly in relation to accomplishing this essential practice. And the essential practice is to fulfill this the aspiration, the goal of this mind of definite emergence that we've generated. So we have now this motivating intention of the mind of definite emergence, this wish to attain liberation from suffering. And that is the essential practice that we are turning to our lamas for inspiration and blessing to accomplish. And alongside with this, we're turning for inspiration, that we practice our ethics well. We develop a powerful and stable ethical mind, and our practices of generosity and patience, etc., are all successful and unimpeded. And in particular, the practices of calm abiding and special insight, that these two go well, as well as the wisdom realizing selflessness. So here we're turning for inspiration for all six of the practices of ethics, of generosity, of patience, of joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom. We're turning for inspiration that whatever qualities that we have already attained through the development of our virtuous minds, may these qualities grow and grow. And what qualities we are yet to develop, may we develop them quickly. And we furthermore, we turn for inspiration that all the obstacles that we do encounter, whether outer or inner obstacles, that we quickly and without difficulty overcome all these obscurations.
So these, what we've looked at here in these two verses, are the practices that are in accordance with the being of intermediate capacity. So what does that mean? It means that a practitioner of the Mahayana, or an aspirant to the practices of the Mahayana, in other words, a being of great capacity, will be engaging in these same practices, but with a different motivation. So someone such as ourselves is aspiring for the paths of the Mahayana, we generate a motivating mind of being of greatest benefit to all beings. We reflect on the faults of cyclic existence, coming to understand what we ourselves as human beings are experiencing, how suffering pervades our experience, how all these samsaric pleasures that we desire so, they just lead to the strengthening of our mind of attachment and keeping us bound here. And then we also reflect on the suffering of beings in other realms, the lower realms, etc., and coming to see that there's nowhere worthwhile striving for in samsara. We take that understanding and apply it to others. The others too are distracted by sense pleasures. Others too are suffering throughout samsara. There are beings right now suffering in the lower realms. And then with this motivation of the Mahayana, we give rise to the wish to attain liberation from cyclic existence for ourselves as well as for others, because all beings share the same wish in wanting to be freed of suffering and pain. With this motivation to be freed from samsara, we engage in the practices of generosity and ethical conduct and patience and choice, perseverance, concentration and wisdom. And therefore, these practices are in accordance with the being of intermediate capacity. So that then is that brings to completion the presentation of the practices that are in accordance with the being of intermediate capacity.
Some ကျွန်တော်ကလည်းဒီမှာရှိတဲ့ဆက်ပြီးတော့ဒီနေ့ကကျွန်တော်စာအသေးကိုကျွန်တော်ဒီနေ့ဆက်မှတ်တာအဲဒီနေ့ကအနည်းငယ်တော့ဒီကစားနာရှင်ရှေ့ပါနာရှင်အဲဒီကြီးမိသားကိုကြည့်ကြည့်ပြီးနာရှင်ရဲ့အဲဒီကခေါ်ရတဲ့ဘုရားပါတယ်ဆရာတော်ဟောသူတင်ပြရပါတယ်ဆက်သမတိုင်းဒီလိုကသာဝသမတိုင်းဒီကျွန်တော်တတ်တော်လာခေါ်ရတယ်ထာဝရသူသဘေငယ်ကျွန်းဒီသမတိုင်းဒီသမတိုင်းနဲ့ဒီနေ့ငံကြီ pepe java some dialogue, or didn't pay a hurry that is say the Kahokumia, Kahokum Janet, the Telegatuki to finish what the Chekhova, the Yahoo, that in Java Chi, Yahoo Shara, some down to do. Then I'm doing that, you know that, then you have something she needs. で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、 地位确定，从什么地方？南边，南边街上路去，都是过住地下，反正人家吃不落，就是人家给上面单位那样子的，在卡上的，人家六千米的，上单位的地方，人家上面伢那样子，上单位的，当然就是，地里也过不进来的，那些钱不也是钱？那种大的些，我当时，那地钱嘛，就咱吃不清楚的，南边的不过学的，就不清楚过的。
Now we've looked at the practices that are in accordance with the beings of both small and intermediate capacity. So then for ourselves as aspirants to the Bodhisattva paths, as those who want to become beings of greatest capacity, then how can we practice in accordance with those practices of the beings of small and intermediate capacity? Well, when we engage in meditation, and hopefully we have time to meditate each and every morning, we should start by reflecting on the faults of cyclic existence. We reflect on the sufferings that are experienced throughout cyclic existence, in particular in this human rebirth. And thereafter, that could be the starting point, and thereafter to reflect on the cause of all suffering within cyclic existence. And that is the contaminated karma accumulated through one's own afflicted minds. And that would be the second point. And this would then lead us to the understanding that the only way to abandon the suffering experience of samsara is to eliminate the cause. It's only through eliminating the cause that one can attain liberation from suffering. And having come to this wish to attain liberation from suffering, we then take this understanding and we apply it to others. Because we sitting on our meditation cushion, we are only one. But this wish we have to be freed of pain and suffering is shared by all beings. This wish for lasting happiness is shared by all beings. And however, the vast majority of beings have no idea that they are actually bound within the suffering state of samsara, let alone why, and have no idea what to do about it. So there we give rise to the strong wish to be of benefit to them, and to be of benefit to them in the most meaningful of ways, to lead them to a state freed of suffering. In this way, from a starting point of wanting to be to get up this mind of definite emergence, we can develop it into the mind of bodhicitta. Then, knowing that this opportunity that we have now to fulfill the goal of a bodhisattva, which is the attainment of enlightenment for the sake of others, this opportunity of this human rebirth is impermanent and can end at any moment. We then commit ourselves even more strongly to attain the essence of this human life, to make this life meaningful, and to do so immediately and continuously, not just on the meditation cushion, but in our daily activities, to keep our mind virtuous, to keep our mind focused on a meaningful goal, a meaningful objective. Then, now having combined the practices of many of these practices of being of small and intermediate capacity, we continue this process. We think about the six perfections. So the six perfections can be divided in differing ways, but in brief we could say, develop this mind that commits to not harm others. So this is the practice of ethics. We generate this mind of not wanting to bring any harm to others at all, because this is contrary to the goal of a bodhisattva. And with this mind of not harming others, that serves as a restraint from physical and verbal activities. Then accompanying this, we generate the mind of wanting to benefit others in any way we can. And here we can meditate on generosity, and we can certainly meditate on patience. So generosity is a mind of wanting to help others. And patience is a mind that is imbued with love and compassion, a mind that stays calm and spacious in the face of adversity from others. And when one experiences inner difficulties in one's practice, it too remains calm and spacious because of understanding the greater goal, understanding what is to be attained through working through these difficulties. And the fourth practice is that of joyous perseverance. And here we can rejoice in what we are doing, rejoice in the virtue that the holy beings have and are accumulating, rejoice in the virtue that ordinary beings are accumulating. We have generate joy in what we are doing and are going to do in the day ahead in our interactions with others. And then all these various understandings that we come to in our meditation, we can then use those small realizations, we can use them to develop our concentration. So as we attain, for example, a feeling that cyclic existence is pervaded by suffering, we hold that single-pointedly. And by doing so, we strengthen our familiarity with that realization, and we strengthen our mind of concentration. We can do that for each of the various points of the meditation, strengthening our mind of concentration, strengthening our familiarity with these realizations. And then lastly, reflect on selflessness. So in this way, with a meditation of wanting to lead all beings to enlightenment, this motivation of bodhicitta, one is practicing the Mahayana Dharma, but in accordance with the beings of small and intermediate capacity. So this meditation, then, if it's done repeatedly over a sustained period, real change will come to our way of thinking. And if we only have a few minutes in the morning, if we take those few minutes every morning, change will come. And as change comes, and we start to experience this change within us and how we relate to others and how we deal with difficulties, this will serve to further inspire us to spend more time developing ourselves spiritually. So that's what we've looked at this weekend. It's how we can incorporate it into our daily meditation. And then when we meet in a teacher center in a couple of weeks, then we will look at the practices of the being of greatest capacity. And that is the presentation then of the Mahayana Dhamma. If you have some questions, then please feel free to ask. Tanya.
Mindfulness is keeping the mind on the object. Introspection is checking that the mind is on the object. Conscientiousness, it seems so similar to me to introspection or even mindfulness. I don't think I know what conscientiousness is.
Okay.
What's the formal definition?
Okay. So can Gila explain what conscientiousness is?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not going to ask for the definition because that will be a bit intricate for me to know without having read it.
Okay.
But I'm also going to ask them what mindfulness and introspection is, because my understanding differs from yours. So if I said something different, then I may have made an error earlier. Okay? Then you're going to... Bakio de kari de? Bakio.
Oh, yeah.
Bakme in kore, bakme.
Bakme,
yeah. They're going to see things done. Yeah. During the day, so.
Yeah, bakme, yeah. They're going to see things done. They're going to see things done. Bakme, yeah. Bakme, yeah. They're going to see things done. Bakme, yeah. Bakme. Bakme, yeah. Bakme, yeah. The new student, the Kajer, the Comrade, 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 the that samlo ti deni ki zhu du wu mi du ane samlo deni ngang zhu ya deni ki samlo pa zhu wu du mi du ane samlo xian da ka ku du mi du wu si ni sam da jia da da du yin di le xi xin la di ki da na ha gu ya du sen qi lu pa che zhu wu xian pa sen pa xian da pa zhu du sen ti samlo ha gu ya du nam san jian bi ki di ye jie o de di pa da na ding ma le sam ji pa ku bie le ya di xi give it your car some down and generally some down with some jammer to share the tempi pa share so so that this one got a bit young to get to the world get to the world what but they that been out to me but she need to it be much get to the world but me but she needs to say she do some down to get to the same the chilo pa shanda ya some start so she can be nange jala da so so ya ga ro da so she go when you then some phone send ba ba ya sha de send the the me but the decision need to go ba di pa ma da sha ni ge ni xi jin di di sen di ni du di ni du che che ba chi di ka ba ta di di ka ba di ni sam mo di chi lo ba du wi ba ha go ya di ni jang da di o da di ba ta yo ma da mi ba la che wo le so di chen di mi ba di ya sam ta di chen di zi ba si mo cha na du ge wa ka ri du ne da ra de di du ho lo da
ke ne ke ni tren pe ge wo le so na di no di go ko ko so che pa cha ma
ba chen ba di mi ba di lo di wo re sa di mi ba di wo le si pa sem shor do di tang yo ma re de sha bu re sa di de ba di chi go ro da ta na so di xi xin di jo du du da sa di ni ni yong du se be da ta na ne xi xin di de ga han di de ba di ge de
a di ke di de ba de na so la so de drink ge de ga so rim pa dan sa ma di drink ge de
sim de xi ne lu sam tan sim mi bol pa che du du sam de sam de chu du sam de sam de ha go di xi xin di ha go ne che 시신의 하고인데 잠바디 오스미벌의 샤후레마도 파타교마레 섬제 삼근 삼제 잠벌 파제헨디 잠바디 지고 스미벌데 디나신이 한두게 에 지게 자주 셈베 고베나다 이제 고베나 가레 가레 기위초로 삼 파비케블라 셈파 치로마다 마셔야지 바유에치 셈 치로로 파도 우샨다레 인도미디 삼당야디 시신시 이니게 인구여바 하고여지 잠바디기 파마다 바까지
So conscientiousness is a non-distracted mind. So when we meditate, usually our mind is all over. So we try to cultivate whatever the meditation object is, but our mind is on our daily activities. It's on its world tour. So in this way, we cannot accumulate virtue. So a conscientious mind is a mind that is undistracted, and a mind that is not conscientious is this distracted mind that's traveling all over the show, not on the object. And introspection, so these three minds work together, so they're a team. Introspection, this is the mind that notices that distraction has come, and it's also the mind that notices that one is not distracted. So it's introspection that is aware that one is on the object, or now here I go, and it brings it back. Well, it notices it, that it's going. Then it's mindfulness that brings it back. It's mindfulness that says, no, my object of meditation is this. So mindfulness is the word that's always used, but it's also recollection. So it's recalling the object of meditation, or it's recalling the instruction. That is mindfulness or recollection. So these three minds we should always use in our meditation. So, for example, if one is meditating on calm abiding, then
We need to hold this object in an undistracted way, so we need to be conscientious. So this is the role of conscientiousness that keeps us with the object, not with our friends and traveling all over the show, but with the object. And it's introspection that is aware whether the mind is on the object or not. And when the object is lost or is being lost, it's mindfulness that recalls the object and would recall the training if that was required, the instructions, and that's the role of mindfulness. So these three are required for all forms of meditation, whether it's bodhicitta, compassion, karma abiding, etc. One needs conscientiousness to ensure we stay undistracted, introspection to analyze, to be aware of what's happening in the mind. Is it here? Is it there? And mindfulness to recall what the object is, or to recall the meditation instructions.
Okay. So just further on from that, because at the end of that, it says, you know, great caution arises.
Yeah.
And I thought that was odd. I had put great caution down as conscientiousness.
Mm.
Are they the same? You sort of said there's something different there. That it's maintaining recognition of the object with conscientiousness.
So it's the same word. So some people use carefulness and others use conscientiousness. And I use conscientiousness.
And which means the same as great caution.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Did you draw it? There you go. Okay, any other questions?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh,